We begin the current daven Sechtes Yuma daven Mem Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of Ula's halacha on the previous daf. Now, as Ula told us, that the entire parasha of Paraduma, if one looks through as the Gemara started on the previous daf and continues throughout much of this daf, one sees that there's two concepts that continuously go back and forth. There's the concept of mashma mitzah miyad mashma, which means to say that what we had assumed up until now in the psukim and the parasha and the halachas of Paraduma is being changed now by the next pasuk. And then there's the concept of mashma memela, that what we had assumed is still continuing. And that is, as the Gemara will conclude and show this, that this is continuously in flux and that there's no clear rule in the parashas how to translate the psukim about a common thread running through it as a common theme. Rather, it continuously changes or maintains, and it's neither one or the other. It's not continuously staying the same or continuously changing, sometimes like this, sometimes like that. As the Gemara continues expounding upon the psukim, in the parashas of Paraduma, where it's written in the Torah, and shows how the pasuk sometimes maintains who is what and how the avod is being done, and sometimes it's not. So the Gemara continues, quoting a pasuk Gimel in the parasha of Bamidbar, where it talks about the parasha of Paraduma. So it says, V'shachat, it says the pasuk begins over there in Bamidbar Perek Yutes pasuk Gimel. It says, "V'nesatim o'isah el Elazar HaKohen." This is again continuation on the previous daf where we started the actual taking of the animal, the paraduma. Then it says that it should be given over to Elazar HaKohen. V'hoitzi o'isah el mechutz lamachan, and then he'll take the paraduma outside of the camp. And then that's where the pasuk continues, which our Gemara quotes, "V'shachat o'isah," and then he should slaughter the paraduma. So on that the drasha is, that he shouldn't slaughter any other animal together with the paraduma. It's only v'shachar isah. There should only be one avoda being done at this time, that of the paraduma. And if one does another one, that would invalidate it. Then the pasuk concludes with the word v'shachar isah. It should be slaughtered lefanav, in front of him. So this is machlekes, as we had mentioned in the previous daf, that l'rav was shelo yisich daitimin. According to Rav, he held that it has to be done by Allah. So it has to be done. And therefore, when it says v'shachar isa lefanav, that it should be in front of him, it doesn't mean actually someone else doing it in front of him. Rather, means that lefanav means to say that he should be focused. He shouldn't be masiach das. He shouldn't remove his consciousness from this, from the paraduma and the slaughtering that he's doing. That's what it's mandating when saying lefanav. The Shmuel, according to Shmuel, he holds sheyehezar sheicher. He holds that, no, to the contrary, he holds that a non-kohen is allowed to slaughter it. V'Allah zaraya. And the Lazar, who doesn't have to, the Kohen doesn't have to do it, he's watching it, so b'shachat oisa, it should be slaughtered lefanav, in front of him, which means to say that he doesn't have to be doing it, rather someone else could be doing it in front of him. That was Pasuk Gimel. Now the Gemara continues with Pasuk Dalet, where the Pasuk begins, v'lokach elazar hakohen, elazar hakohen will take, and this is a reference to the receiving of the blood, as with the Pasuk before, it's talking about the slaughtering, receiving of the blood, and then midama, he'll take from the blood, be'etzboi, with his finger, and then, as the pasuk concludes, v'hiza al noichach p'nei el moed midama, that he'll then spray from the blood, which is on Har HaMishka, a different mountain, not on the Har HaBayis, and he'll be spraying into the direction of the el moed, shevapam, 7 times. So now, again, we have machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, and this is based on their understanding of the previous psukim. And that is l'shmuel, according to Shmuel, that he made the inference of the word lefanav, as we just said regarding the shechita, to say that a non-kohen is going to be valid in doing the slaughtering, because Elazar doesn't have to be doing it, rather someone does it lefanav in front of the kohen, which means that even a non-kohen could do the slaughtering. So therefore he required, when it talks about the Kabbalah Sadam, not the shechita, the next part, the receiving of the blood and the spraying, l'haduri l'Elazar. It had to say Elazar this time again, to then say that, to go back, that it does require the receiving of the blood and the spraying to be done with Elazar Kain, and that it can't be going on the one who does the shechita, who is the Zar. That's why it mandates and it repeats in the Pasuk Kain. However, the Gemara says l'Rav, that he says that even the shechita has to be with a lazar, it also has to be a kohen. So then, truthfully, by the Kabbalah, it should not have written a lazar, it should not have written that a lazar ha-kohen goes and receives the blood, because we already know. It already says by the shechita has to be him. So therefore, it comes out, havamir achar mir, now that it said a lazar by the shechita, and then saying a lazar again by the Kabbalah and the zrika, so that's what's called exclusion on top of an exclusion, which is saying you could only do a lazar and no one else, but already said it once. Now that halacha is, v'ein mid achamid el rabbis, the klal in the Gemara is that whenever it says an exclusion in the pasuk and then it repeats it again, it's actually coming to include something. which dafila kohen hadid, which although I would think it could only be with a lazer who's the skan, and it can't be just a regular kohen, and that we're saying that the double exclusionary criteria of others comes to include on some level, which is not only a lazer, but even a kohen hadid. Now that's the concept of like mashma maitzi miyad mashma, although we had been saying up until now that it was talking about the skan. Now we're saying for regarding the Kabbalah and the Halacha, it's not just a lazer as it was by Zashchita, but rather it's even a kohen hedjit. Now the Gemara continues with the next pasuk, pasuk vav. Now there the pasuk begins, v'lokach ha-kohen eitz erez ve'ezah v'shnei telah. So after that, as we had said from the previous daf, that the pasukim began, that they took the animal, they took it out of the Har Bayis area, they brought it where it has to be, and as our daf said, that they slaughtered it, and they did the Kabbalah and the Zrika of the dam. Now, the primary avodah of the paradum has yet to come, because the primary is to get the ashes, to then use that and create this purifying water to spray on someone that becomes tameh. So in part of this process, the pasuk says that the kohen will take the eitz erez, the cedar wood, and the azav type of herb, and the thread of the red wool. Now, so Lishmuel, according to Shmuel, that he said that the kabbalah of the dam, the receiving of the blood and the spraying of the blood, has to be done with a lazer, and that's why it said a lazer to counteract what it had said regarding the slaughtering, that could be even with a non-kohen. So now, when it says over here kohen in the context of throwing in these ace arrows and the ace of the shnei telas in the fire that's burning on the paraduma, is coming to validate that this part of the process of throwing in the cedar wood is the filib kohen hedjit. It's saying that will even be kosher in kohen hedjit, and this is, as Rashi points out, another case of mashma meitz miyad mashma. And all these cases are similar in this concept that it goes back and forth, it keeps on changing, and some of them stay the same, mashma memela. But here in these contexts, they're going back and forth. So the shchita is kasher bezar according to Shmuel. But then it says it again by the Kabbalah and the Halacha to say, oh, it's only by lazer. Then regarding this next process of throwing the eight eras and the eight of nishni telas, and that it says kayin. Why is it saying kohen? To say that, it doesn't have to be with a lazer. It could even be with a kohen hedjit. Now, Rav, according to Rav, that again, based on the previous opinions and the expositions of the previous psukim, that he says that he already said that the Kabbalah is kosher with a kohen hedjit. Because not like Shmuel, and there, who he had learned differently, because Rav said again that the Shechita is only kosher, is not kosher bazar. And therefore we said by the Kabbalah, why is it repeating it again, must be to include not only a lazer who's a skan, but even a regular kohen. So now according to Rav, we already know that a regular kohen would be able to do this process of the eitz erez and the ezav shnei telas if we didn't say anything. So why is it saying b'lokach ha-kohen? So according to him, this would be a principle of mashma memela. And it's not coming to exclude what the pasuk before had spoken about. And we're maintaining the status quo of the Kabbalah and the Zrika, that it could be with a kohen hedjit. So then the question becomes, according to Rav, if we're maintaining the status quo, it's mashma meila, so why does it add hakohen if we already know it could be with any kohen? So then Itzrich, I have to say that it should be done with a kohen, because had it just written at Veloka, let's say it would have said Velokach Eitz Erez, and it wouldn't have said that Velokach HaKoyin, that the Koyin should take it. So then Salkadai Dechamina, I would have thought to say that Velokach, he can take and throw in the Eitz Erez and the Ezem and the Shnei Telas. I would have thought whoever wants to. And it doesn't have to be, and it's not going back on the previous Pasuk, of that the Koyin who does the Kabbalah and the Zrika, that person is the one who does the it's throwing in the Ezem and the Shnei Telas. And the reason why I would have assumed like that it could be anybody, is because kivun d'lav gufa d'parninu, since it's not part of the actual primary ingredient of, so to speak, of this avodah, which is the paraduma, rather it's these subsidiaries, these things that are ancillary to that, which is throwing in the ezev and the eitz erez and the shnei telas, loyla by kain. So therefore I would have thought it does not require kain. Kamash mulan, that's why I have to say hakoin. But truthfully, according to Rav, this is not a concept of mashma meitzim de mashma. Rather, we're staying. It's mashma memelo. What the previous avoda of the paraduma was is the same for this one, which is with a kohen hedjit. But so then, why did we say hakohen if we would have known it already? According to Shmuel, it has to counter the previous avoda of the paraduma. According to Rav, he says it because I would have thought that it would have been different, that anyone could do it because it's not the primary ingredient of the paraduma. That's why it says hakohen. Now the pasuk continues in pasuk Zayin. So it says in the pasuk, "V'chibes begodav hakohen." Then the kohen who did this avodah, he goes and washes his garments. So that the drasha is bikihunai. in his status as Kayin. Now what that means is this word Kayin is an extra pasuk. Because according to everybody, it shouldn't have had to say that the Kohen should have to wash his garments in a way of purification after he's involved in the Avodah of the Paraduma, because I would have known it's talking about him. Who else is the one that does the Avodah? It's the Kohen that we're talking about. So why does it say that the Kohen has to wash his garments? And that is coming to define the relationship between the garments of the Kohen and the Kohen himself. In other words, that to do the Avodah of the Paraduma, it's not just that it has to be a Kohen, the Kohen has to be wearing his Kahana garments, and that he can't be wearing unconsecrated garments when he's doing the Avodah of the Paraduma. Now the pasuk there concludes, V'tameh ha-kohen ad ha-erev, that the Kohen will be Tameh until the evening. And that's the paradox of the Paraduma, that it purifies those who are Tameh, and it is Metameh the Taharim. So on that the drush is, again, why does it say ha-kohen? We know that the one that's being Tameh is the one who did the Avodah. On that, the drash is kain b'kihuni l'dayris. That's coming to include that even for the future paras adum, it's not only the one that's written in the Torah that took place there in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, but all of them, all the kohanim that ever do the avodah paraduma, they also need their b'kdei kihuna in that, and when they're doing the avodahs of the paraduma. Now, the Gemara asks on this last drash. So hanich l'man da'ama, that makes sense according to the one who had mentioned the previous staff that holds l'dayris b'kain hedyit. That yes, all paradumas of future generations are done with even regular kahanim, and that's because that mandama does not learn chukah from Yom Kippur to say just like Yom Kippur requires a kohen gadol, so too chukah that says by paraduma for future generations also requires paraduma. And that's because in the times of the midbar, it was actually a lazer who did it, he's the skan. He's like somewhere in between the kohen gadol and the regular kohen head. And then we said, but future generations is different, not a lazer. So who is it? So one mandama says that it's a kohen gadol because chukah. Just like Yom Kippurim is Kohen Gadol, so future generations Paraduma is Kohen Gadol. But the other mandama says, no, he doesn't learn from that. Rather, and since it doesn't specify, it could be any Kohen Hedyot. So according to that mandama, Shashapar, it makes sense why the Pasuk would have to tell you Kohen over here to teach you regarding the future generations that although it's a lower status Kohen, he still has to be wearing his Big Day Kahuna. But according to the one who holds that for future generations, the one who does the paraduma, the only one that could do it is the Kohen Gadol. So, how should the Kohen Gadol be? If the pasuk is requiring from us that the Kohen Gadol should be doing the avodah, would we have a half a minute to say? Would we entertain the thought that he doesn't have to be wearing his big day kahuna? In other words, we're requiring such high standards of kahuna that it has to be the one on the top, the Kohen Gadol. So for sure, he has to wear his big day kahuna. Why would we need to tell you that for future generations, which is even making it more higher than the way it was the first time, which already at the beginning of the pasuk told us that Elazar had to be wearing his big day kahuna, so the future generations, which is even requiring the Kohen Gadol, for sure is going to have to require big day kahuna. So why would we need that drasha according to the man da'amar that it was the Kohen Gadol? So I think Mar says, even according to that man da'amar, we still require a drasha to tell you b'kihuna that he has to be wearing his big day kahuna, even though it has to be the Kohen Gadol. Because milsa de asi b'kavochemer, a concept that could be learned out from a kavochemer, like we're saying, if Elazar, who was a laskan, a deputy kohen gadol, lower down, in the times of the midbar, when the Jews were in the desert, required the big day kuna, for sure the kohen gadol in future generations. However, tarch v'kasal akra, this is a concept mentioned many times throughout Shas, that the Torah still went through the effort to spell it out, so to speak, in the Torah. And therefore we made a drasha tell you that he has to, although a kavochemer would have told it to us anyway. Now the Gemara continues again along this theme about Ula from the different psukim going back and forth and sometimes maintaining the status of the prior psukim regarding the avodas of the paraduma. So it says in Pasuk Tes, again moving along in the chronological order of the avoda, it says Va'asaf ishtar es'efer ha'para v'hiniach, that a person that is pure will then gather the ashes of the paraduma again after that it's burnt, and he'll put it, as the pasuk there ends, michutz la'machna, out of the camp of makam tara, in the pure place, v'hish ladas b'nei Yisrael l'mishmeres, and this will be safeguarded for the Jewish people, l'meinid d'chatasi, that for purifying waters for the Jewish people, again, when someone becomes tamei. So the drasha on this, what does it mean that the ish tahar, the pure man, will gather it? What does that come to tell us? So ish, man, is lahakshar sazar. That comes to validate even a non-kohen, and that is because prior to this, the pasuk beforehand was said it has to be with a kohen. Again, according to Shmuel, I had to say kohen to say that even a regular kohen had yid, and according to Rav, I had to say kohen because I would have thought anybody could do it. However, the last part of the process spoke about a kohen. Now, here it's saying ish. Why say the term man, not kohen? To tell us, that this part of the process of gathering the ashes is valid even by a non-kohen. Because had it said, The asaf as e for hapar without the term ish, just that he should gather the ashes of the par. So I would have thought to say it's going on the kain, because again the previous pasuk was talking about a kain. And therefore it says ish, which is telling us something over here, was to say even it's kosher by a non-kain. Now tahar, when it says the term pure, ish tahar, is lahakshar as isha, that's coming to include even a woman in doing this part of the process. Because, as Rashi explains, if it was coming to exclude something that's ritually impure, that's pretty obvious because the paradum is called a chatas, and the chatas cannot be done through someone that's tameh. So obviously we're talking about someone that's tahar. So what's the extra word tahar telling us? To include somebody else that's also tahar, that even a woman could do that avodah. And finally it says, v'hinech, that he'll place it. What is that coming to say? Of course he's placing it. He's putting it out of the machna. What's the term he's placing it? That the drasha is mishiyesh b'idas lohaniach. An individual that has the knowledge, the capacity to be able to place things where they're supposed to be. Yatsu, that comes to exclude a cheresh shayit of a cotton, a deaf mute, someone that's deranged, and a minor, she'im behem das lohaniach, that they don't have the full capacity, that knowledge to be able to put it where it's supposed to be, and therefore they're being excluded from that. That's the drasha of that pasuk. Then the Gemara continues and continues all the way to Pasuk Yud Zayin, where that Pasuk, it says, V'lochu la'tamei me'afar streifas ha'chatas, that they'll take for the person that's ritually impure from the ashes of the chatas that was burned from the paraduma, v'nosn lov ma'im chayim al-keli, and then they'll put live water into the vessel mixed with the ashes, and that will be used to spray on the person that became tamei. Now, so related to that Pasuk, Tanan Hasim, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Par. It says, Hakol Kasherin Lekadosh. Everyone is valid to be able to do the Kiddush. Now, what Rashi means is, Kiddush is the process of putting the water on the ashes of the Paraduma in a Klicheris, in an earthenware vessel. So everyone could do that part of the process. Chutz Micher Shait V'Katan, except for a deaf mute, someone that's deranged, and a minor. Rabbi Huda, he argues, he's Machshir V'Katan, he holds that it is valid to be done through a minor. However, upaisla be'isha, on that he argues that, however, a woman is invalid. Ubandragonis, and including a woman would be an andragonis who possibly is a woman too. Now, the Gemara asks, my time of the Rabbanan. What's the reason of the Rabbanan? That they hold everyone could do it except for a chershayt v'kat. So that they say, dechsev, like it says in the pasuk that we quoted just before, v'lokhu latame ma'afar strevas achatas, that they will take for the person that's ritually impure from the ashes of the chatas, of the paraduma that was burned. Now, this pasuk was said after what we were talking about in the Gemara before, of the asaf ishtar. This is the next thing in the process of that the pure man will be gathering the ashes and will put away where it's supposed to be. And this is also in the chronological order, this is the next thing after that the ashes are put away. Then when we need it, we mix it with the water. Now, when the pasuk here begins, it says v'lokhu, that they will take. Now, what that sounds like is, who's they? It's going back on those who are mentioned regarding the gathering the ashes. Where there we had said already that a zar is included from the term ish, a non-kain could do it, and the isha is included from the term of tahar. However, we exclude a chershayt v'katan because they don't have das lanech, and therefore they hold that hanach de pasalach basifa, those that I've invalidated for the gathering the ashes, which are the chereshayt v'katan, because they don't have das lanech. So paslach b'kiddush, those are the same ones, because it's saying b'lokhu, those are the same ones that are invalid to do the adding of the water and the ashes together in the vessel. V'hanach ta'achshir lach basiv, and those that I have included and said that they are valid in doing the gathering of the ashes, specifically a non-kohen and a woman. So achshir lach b'kiddush, those are the same ones that are valid to do the sanctification of the water with the ashes, because it's a continuation. It says b'lokhu, they are the ones that take. However, Behuda, as we see, he argues, he says, Imkain, if it was like you, the Rabbana, are saying that it would be going back on the previous pasuk of the and the part of the process of the paraduma of the asav, of the gathering of the ashes, so then, lema krov alokach, let the pasuk say that he should take, because regarding the gathering of the ashes, it also says in the singular, that v'asaf, he gathers, so say v'lokach, and he, whoever it is, it could be a woman, it could be a non-kain, as according to your opinion, so it should just say, and he should take. My v'lokachu, that they should take. Ah, so therefore Rabbi Huda says, that's why I argue that the afilu katan, the pasilach hasam, that's coming to say, and they, including other people, even the minor that, yes, I agree that we have invalidated regarding the gathering of the ashes, but hachakasher, here is going to be valid, because there's an inclusive term of they, and not just in the singular of v'lokach. Now, However, Isha Menali, we does Rabbi Yehuda know that Isha is going to be invalid, although she is kosher to do the gathering of the ashes. And Andragin is also because of Safek Isha that he's doubtfully a woman. That's because it says Venasan, it says in the masculine that he will put Velay Venasna and that she will put. That's how he excludes the woman. Now, Rabban, they'll tell you to answer Rabbi Yehuda's response to them, that truthfully, it is going back on the asaf of the gathering. Now, your question was, why doesn't it say v'lakach in the singular, just like it says v'asaf, is because ikaz rachman v'lakach v'nasan, if the Torah would have said, and kept the uniformity of saying in the singular that it said regarding the gathering of the ashes, to then regarding the putting the ashes together with the Mayim Chaim El Keli, then havamina, I would have thought to say, Adeshakal Chad, until one person takes the ashes, V'yav Chad, and that same person has to be the same one who puts the ashes with the water, because that's what it sounds like. V'asaf, V'lokach, it sounds like this is the same person that has to do all the things. And that's why the Pasuk had to change the terminology, and Kasrachman of V'lokhu, that they will take, that even if two people take, it doesn't have to be that same one person. Now, V'ikas Rachman of V'lokhu V'nasnu, had the Pasuk written that they should take and they should place, which then would have kept the uniformity again, at least of the plural. But then havamina adeshakli trei v'avitrei. But then I would have thought the other way, that it has to be two people that do both. Therefore, kasrachmana v'lokhu v'nasan. That's why the Torah switched and changed from singular to plural to singular to say dafila shakli trei v'yavichad, that even if two people take and one person place, in other words, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't have to be that same one person, and that's why it changed. But you're right, it would have kept v'lokach in the singular just like v'asav, because it is going back on the before. But it changed from singular to plural to say that it doesn't have to be one, it could be two, it doesn't have to be the same individual. Now the pasuk continues with the next part of the process, pasuk yudchas. So we did all the processes, we brought the paraduma, we slaughtered, we received the blood, we sprayed the blood in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, they went and they burnt the paraduma, they put in the Ezov and the Shnei Toilas and the Erez, and then they gathered the ashes and they put it where it's supposed to be, and they took the ashes and they put it together with the water, they created the liquid that's used in the Tara process. Now on that the Pasuk says, V'lokach Ezov, that he'll take the Ezov, which is this type of herb, v'tavol b'mayim ishtar, and he'll immerse it in the water, a person that's pure. And then the pasuk there continues, v'hizah la'oil, and he'll spray it on the oil, v'akol akelim, anything that needs to be purified in this process, the paraduma, will be sprayed by taking the Ezov, this type of a grass, and spraying it on what needs to be sprayed. Now, this Ezov was said regarding the spraying of the mayim chaim, of the main nida, the chatasi. Now, this Avodah comes after the last one we just spoke about, after the Kiddush, after the sanctifying of the water together with the ashes in the Kli Cheres. So now, the Gemara continues the logic of the processes that we were speaking about. And that is, L'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, that they said that the Kiddush, in other words, again, this combination of the water and the ashes, that are the same people that can do the Asif, or the gathering of the ashes after it's burned. Now, regarding the burning of the ashes, we said it said Ishtahar, a pure man. Now we had included from Ish a Nazar, even a non-Kohen, and from Tar we had included even a Ish, even a woman. Now, therefore, here where it says again the term of Ish Tahar, a pure man, it's obviously not coming to include a non-Kohen and a woman and to invalidate a minor, and that it should maintain the status quo, which is called Mashma Memela, that Ula had coined that term of what had been in the prior Avodas, because then the Pasuk shouldn't have mentioned anything. It should have just said, V'lokach Ezov, V'tavol B'mayim V'hiza. I would have known that who we were talking about before, that's who continues doing it. Yes, the one who gathers the ashes is the one that goes and mixes it with the water, and then that's the one who goes ahead and sprays it on the person that's impure. But it doesn't. It adds again Ishtar. Now, what is Ishtar telling us this time? So, according to Rabbanan, is Ish V'la Yisha. Must be, it's coming to tell us something else, to say the opposite, what's called Mashma Zeh Moitzi Miyad Mashma. It's coming to be exactly the opposite of what it said up until now. And that is, from man, we're excluding a woman. And Tahar is L'Hachshas HaKatan. And what is that term of pure? That comes to include even the minor, who, although he's invalid to do the Kiddush of mixing the water with the ashes, here we're coming Moitzi Miyad Mashma. We're coming to exclude from what we had said prior, that even a minor will be kosher. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he had a different opinion regarding the Kiddush of the Mechatas, that he held that a woman is invalid to do the Kiddush, and to the contrary, a katan is kosher to do it. So now it has to be the exact opposite according to his opinion. So he says, ish v'loy katan. So regarding the spraying of this water, purifying waters on the person that's tameh, it's only a man, not a minor. And tahar, someone that's pure, is lahachras isha, to say that a woman is valid to do it. And that's because according to either opinion, although they're opposites in the prior halacha, now they have to be the opposite of that. In other words, it cannot be mashma memela to maintain the status quo of the prior vayda, because then the pasuk shouldn't have mentioned ishtar, because we already said ishtar, and we maintain that. Now, why are you saying it again, ishtar? Must be to tell us a different halacha to come and reverse that process, and ish will exclude something, and tar will include something else. Now the Gemara continues, however, and asks on this last component that we said, what comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he'll say ish v'loy katan, and the Torah will say that even a woman is valid in doing this, the last part of the process of spraying with the azev on the person that's impure. But the Gemara asks from the following Mishnah Masechtas Parah. The Mishnah tells us that hakol k'shein lahazus, this last avodah that we were just talking about, everyone's permitted to spray the person that's tameh with this azev, chutz, me tumtum vadragnus of isha, except for tumtum who is not clear what type of what does he have, what type of from male and female. Vadragnus has both of them, and therefore it's not clear if he's a male or female. The isha and the woman, they're not valid to do the hazah of spraying the person that's tameh. However, if a katan sheyesh bidas, a minor that has certain type of knowledge, isha mesayite umaz, then the woman could assist him. And then he could spray the person that's tameh. Now that's what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Parah. Now we continue Amud Beis, where the Gemara asks, but v'lei palag Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue in that Mishnah. Now he holds a woman is kasher and a katan is pasul, which is not what it says there in that Mishnah. But if we just concluded in the prior discussion that it has to be, everyone says it's the reverse of what it was before, so Rabbi Yehuda should have argued in that Mishnah, but he doesn't. So Abaye says, you're right. However, since Ula had said, and that's as we see, that's the process of the different avodas, the paraduma, that it's either mashma mitzmiad mashma u mashma memela, and that is in this case you have to say that it's not mashma memela, that it must be that it's mitzi mide mashma. So then polig, obviously, although yes, the Mishnah there doesn't mention Rabbi Yehuda argues, but we know that he argues. You don't have to say it because everyone knows with this next pasuk of saying ish tahar again must be to say that we already said ishtar, so must be saying the reverse of what I said before, and therefore, yes, Rabbi Yehuda would argue in that Mishnah Masechtas Parah that he would say that the woman would be kasher and the katan would be pasul, but the fact that it doesn't say it doesn't mean anything because everyone knows it's mashma mitzi midei mashma. Now the Gemara continues with the next pasuk. Pasuk Yutes, where there the pasuk says, v'hiza hatar ala tameh, the person that's pure will then be spraying the person that's tameh, b'yam ha'shlishi, b'yam ha'shvi, on the third day and the seventh day, and then after that, he could purify himself. Now, what does it say, hatahar? Obviously, the one who's spraying him is tahar, because we were talking about all along that the one who's doing the avodah is tahar, is pure. So tahar mechlal shu tameh, the reason why it says that the tahar person will spray on the tameh person is to say that he's now tahar, but that he had been tameh. What does that mean? That teaches regarding someone that was immersed himself in the mikveh that day, that he's going to be kosher to do the avodah of the parah. Actually, as we had mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, that's why they were lahoitzi melibin shel tzedukim, that actually a tful yoyim, generally, for many areas halacha, has to wait till the evening to become tahar, for harif shemesh, for sundown. However, regarding the halacha of parah duma, the halacha, as we're explaining right now, is even if it's done with someone that's still just coming out of his tumah, and he immersed himself in the mikveh, but he was called tful yoyim, he's considered that he had immersed for the day, but he has to wait for sundown, he's actually kasher to do the hazah on the person that's tameh. And that's why we'd actually, bedavka, on purpose, make him tameh, and then make him a tful yoyim, but that's why we'd also make these precautions of ol tahara and separate 7 days before to show that really we are concerned about the halachas of tumah tahara, but we just did on purpose to lohitzi milibin shel tzedukim. Now, this is the conclusion of Ula's explanation of the different psukim that really go through the whole entire parsha and Bamidba of the Avodah and the Paraduma, which is, again, as we said, sometimes maintaining the status quo, which is Mashma Memela, and sometimes changing, going back and forth. What we thought up until now, it has to be a Lazar, no, it's a Kohen Hedjit, no, it's a Kohen God, it could be anyone else, going back and forth, that's Mashma Meitzi Midei Mashma. So similarly, Omer Abasi says, similar to like Ula, that Ki Havaba, that when they were analyzing Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish Bepar, when Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish analyzed this parsha Paradum in the Torah, Lemaski Minei, they weren't able to come out with conclusions to create a uniformity to understand the psukim, either that every, in other words, either to say it's always mashma mitzvah de mashma. They were trying to see that maybe there's a pattern that every time is coming to say the exact opposite of what it said before, or no, or to say that it's the status quo. They couldn't do that. And Ela Kamai de Masik Talib and Bekrava, the only thing they came up with was like what a fox comes out with his feet when he's walking on a plowed field, which means really nothing, just like dust on his feet. El Amri, rather, the only thing they had to say at the end of when they tried creating this understanding, a pattern of it, was that mashma mitzi midei mashma u'mashma meila, that there is no clear, concrete way of defining, giving a framework. Rather, sometimes it's excluding of what it said before, and sometimes it maintains what it said before. Now the Gemara returns to what we had been discussing on the top of Membeis Amud Aleph, which was related to this discussion of the Avodah and the Paraduma, specifically regarding if the slaughtering of the Paraduma is kosher to be done with a Zar, with a non-kain. So Tani Tani Kamed Rabbi Yechanan, there was someone that had mentioned a brayso in front of Rabbi Yechanan that said, Kol Hashchitas Kasheris B'Zar. Every slaughtering is kosher to be done with a non-kain, as it is in the Beis HaMikdash. Kahanim only have to start from the Kabbalah and further of the receiving of the blood, but the actual slaughtering is kosher even with a non-kain. Chutz Mishal Par, except for the Paraduma, where there the Shechita is possible with the Zar. Amalei Rabbi Yechon, Rechon responded to him, Puk Toni Levra, go out, say your Braisa outside. And the reason is, because Le Mitzin Shechita B'Zar Psula, we don't find that any time slaughtering should be invalid with a non-kain, and therefore the same would apply to Paraduma, and therefore it's incorrect. And the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yechonan, Le Mitzin Shechita B'Zar Psula, not only didn't he want to hear the Tana, the Braisa, that was saying this idea that it's going to be puzzle for the Paraduma. He didn't even listen to his own teacher that said this. As Rabbi Yechanan said in his name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Yitzadik, that his Rabbi said, Shechitas para bizar psula, the slaughtering of the Paraduma is invalid with a non-kain. And the Yomer Rabbi Yechanan says, and I say share that it is kosher. Lemetzina shechita shepsula bizar. We don't find that slaughtering is going to be invalid with a zar, and therefore the same thing would apply not only by the Mizbech and the Beis HaMikdash, but even by the slaughtering of the Paraduma. Now the Gemara concludes its discussion of our previous Mishnah, where it said, Bali Itzla Parashniyah, that it comes to his Paraduma a second time. And that is, as we're going to continue in the next Mishnah, right after this, that we're going through the different five phases, which is the different changing of the garments five times in the Avodah of Yom Kippur and by the Kohen Gadol, which the first one was the Shemayin Begadim, the eight garments, is what's called the Big Dizav, that he did the Avodah of the Tamid, which is the beginning of the Avodah of the day. Then he transferred, he went to the Mikvah, and he went and changed it to Big Dilav and the white linen garments, which then he went and he did the Vidui, first time, of his own power for his family and the Kahanim, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Then he went to the northeastern part of the Azara to go ahead and do the Geirul, the lottery of the two Seirim, one Lashem, one Lazazel. And then he went and tied a red string on the head of the Azazel, and then he put them in positions where they're supposed to be. Then the Mishnah told us he came back for a second time to his power, and he said Vidu is second time. Now that's what our Gemara asks. Now, Maishna Bevidu Rishon, what's the reason that the first time he said confession on his bull, the loy omar v'nei Aaron am kedushach, he didn't mention the rest of the sons of Aaron, the rest of the Kahanim, your holy people. And he only mentioned himself and his family for confessing their sins. What's the reason that the second time when he came back, he not only said for himself and his family, but he also said for the rest of the Kahanim? So that Tana Rabbi Shmuel, a Tana taught from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, that kachi midas adin nesenes, that this is the proper way to do it. And why so? Because mutab yave zakai, better should be a person that has already said vidui for himself and that he's already pure, he's already righteous, and therefore he's fit to go ahead and defend other people, be chaper alachayv, and that he'll atone for those who are still guilty who have not had their confession yet, val yave chayv, and not have someone that's still guilty, because if he's coming to say it together with them, he's not yet vindicated yet, and then to create an atonement for someone that's also guilty. You're guilty yourself. How are you going to try to defend them? So first he does his own vidui. So he becomes zakai. And then when he comes back a second time, then he could go ahead and defend and be a proclet for the rest of the Kahanim, his brothers, the B'nai Aaron Am Kedushach. Now the Mishnah continues, as we said, that this is the part of the process that we're up to. Again, after that he did his vida the first time on this par, then he went to the two seirim, did the lottery, came back to his par, did the second vida. So then now this is where he is. He's between the ulam and the zbeach. He's by his par by the second time. So that the Mishnah tells us. Shachta, he slaughters his par, his bull. Again, because the Kohen Gadol has to do all the avodas. The kibul b'mizrak as dami, he receives in the vessel the blood, because he has to do the Kabbalah. Now he gives the vessel of the blood that he has caught, he gives it to somebody else who's going to be mixing the blood. And that person stands al harebet rabbi shebehechel, on the fourth row of the sanctuary. Now, the whole floor in the Beis HaMikdash was made with rows of tiles made out of marble. Now, every single row was called a ravid. Now, the Gemara initially assumes what the Mishnah is telling us is that it was in the fourth row when one comes into the opening of the Heichel and from within, which the Gemara will ask. No one's allowed to be inside that area at the time when the Kohen Gadol is inside. Now, the reason why it gives the blood to someone else to be mixing it is Kadesh LaYikrish, that it shouldn't congeal. And that's because it takes a while until he does the throwing of the spraying of the blood, because he first goes to do the avodah of the ketores as it's in order in the Torah. So therefore, it shouldn't congeal the blood. So he has somebody mixing it the whole time until he goes ahead and actually sprays it. So after that, he did this, that he slaughtered his par and he received it, and someone's mixing it, so it shouldn't congeal. So Natal Machta, then he goes in the meantime, he takes a shovel, but all the way from Mizbech, he goes up to the top of the Mizbech. And this is the outer Mizbech Achitzin, and which is in the courtyard. Then he moves the coals to the sides. He goes to the middle of the pyre, the really hot burnt coals that are really fiery, and he shovels them into his shovel. Then he comes down from the top of the Mizbech and he puts down that shovelful of coals, which was burnt from the firewood on the top of the Mizbeach. He puts it on the fourth step in the courtyard. And he leaves it there until he goes and he takes his hands full of the ketores of the incense, which then he puts into the coffin to the ladle. And then he takes the ladle with the shovel of the coals, and then he goes inside Lefnei V'Lefnim, inside where the Aron HaKodesh is, where then he does the avoda of the ketores on Yom Kippurim. Now, parenthetically, the Mishnah tells us that B'chol Yom, the Mishnah is going to tell us a contrast between what happens on Yom Kippur and what happens every single day. Now it begins with this avodah that we're talking about with the Ketores and the Gecholim. So B'chol Yom, every single day when he would shovel the coals from the Maruch HaShnia Shal Ketores, there was the Maruch HaGedoyla, the big one where they would burn all the limbs and the fats, the Emurim. Then they had this other type of maracha, which was used just for the purpose of getting coals from there to then bring onto the Mizbeach Hazav, which was inside the Heichel. So every single day when he would shovel the coals to bring it in the morning and the evening, Hayechaita b'shal kesef, he would shovel, the shovel that he would be using would be made out of silver, which the Gemara will explain the reason why that is. And then after he shoveled the coals into that shovel, which was made out of silver, then he would pour it into a golden shovel. However, today on the Kohen Gadol, Kippurim, he would shovel with a golden shovel. And that same shovel was the one that was used to bring it inside the area of the Kodesh Kodeshim. Now, Rashi explains that the reason of all these different discrepancies between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year is because on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was very weak. He did all the avodas, he was up all night. And therefore, we didn't want to exert more than we had to. So therefore, we didn't make him go take with one shovel and then move it into another shovel. Similarly, every single day, the shovel would contain 4 kav of coals. Then that would be shoveled into and poured into a smaller shovel that contained 3 kav. However, today he would shovel with a shovel that was 3 kavin, and with that he would go in. He wouldn't have to go ahead and make it perfect by going with 4 and then pouring it to 3, so he got exactly 3. The same shovel was the shovel he went in with. Rabbi Yisim, he argues, he says, every single day wasn't just 4 kav, actually it was 6 kav. That's what a sa is. And then that was poured into a shovel that was 3 kav. And today he agrees that it was with 3 kav, and that was the shovel that he went and took into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Similarly, every day the shovel was very heavy, and today it was light. Again, we don't want to overexert the Kohen Gadol. every day, the rest of the year, had a short handle. But Yom Arucha, and today on Yom Kippurim, had a long handle, and the reason is so that he could get the handle under his arm, so that his arm could support him in picking up the coals from the Mizbeach. B'chol Yemais is Zahav Yorek. The rest of the year, the gold was yellowy. V'hayim Adam, and today the shovel was a gold that was reddish. Divrei Menachem, that's the opinion of Menachem. B'chol Yem Makrav Pras. Now, the rest of the year, every day, he would bring in a half a mana b'shachris in the morning, and then he would bring half of it in the evening, so he would do k'tiris two times a day, once in the morning with the Tamash Shal Shachar, and once in the evening with the Tamash Shal Ben Abayim. However, v'hayayim, meisif molei chafnaf. Today, the day of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would add not just the one that he did every day, besides the one that he would do the k'tiris in the morning and the evening, which he did, which was on the Mizbech HaPnimi, which is on in the Heichel, not in the Kodesh Kodeshim. Today he would add also his two handfuls, which that he would bring into the Lefnai V'Lefnim, into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, besides the regular k'tiris. B'chol Yom Ha'isa Daka. Every single day, the k'tiris was ground very fine. V'hayom Dakam Nadaka. However, today Yom Kippurim, it was extra fine. And that's because, as it's mentioned elsewhere, that Erev Yom Kippurim, he would bring it back again to the grinder, to grind it again, to make sure it's very, very fine. Now, the Mishnah continues with similar discrepancies between the day of Yom Kippurim and the rest of the year. That is, B'chol Yom, every single day, Kohanim that would be going up to the top of the Mizbeach, doing the Avodah, Oilim B'Mizrach Eshel Kabesh, they would go up on the eastern part of the ramp. And that is, the eastern part is to the right of the one that's coming up, because the Kohen's facing northward when he's going up on the ramp, which is in the southern part of the Azara. Now, since there's halacha that every beginning where a person's going in the direction, he should turn towards the right, so it's not proper that he should traverse a part of the Mizbeach unnecessarily, because the width of the ramp is 16 amas. So therefore, he started all the way on the right side of the ramp, on the Mizrach, because that's the direction he would go in doing his Avoida. The Yardim Amarav, and he would come down on the western part, which would be towards his left. V'hayoyim, however, today, on Yom Kippurim, Kohen Gadol, would be Oyla Be'emtza, V'yori Be'emtza. He would go up in the middle, and he would come down in the middle. And the reason for this was to demonstrate the honor and the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people, because the Kohen Gadol is the emissary. He's the representative of the entirety of the Jewish people. And Hashem is demonstrating that he's like a ben bayis, he's someone that he's like what's called Hamish. You know, he's someone that he can come in and he can walk parts where he doesn't have to, just doing the avodah. And therefore, if he wants to go ahead and go around on the top of the Mizbeach, for example, when he had to do the Matan Dam of Chatas or the Haktaras of the Karban Tamid, so then he would go, he could even pass a part of the ramp, whether it's necessary or even if it's not necessary. Rabbi Yudaim, he argues, he says, "Lo'olam Kohen Gadol Oyla Be'emtza V'Yored Be'emtza." He said, not only Yom Kippurim, but every single day of the year, that's how the Kohen Gadol would go up in the middle and come down in the middle. Similar differences, B'chol Yom, every single day, Kohen Gadol Mekadosh Yod V'Ragla Menakir. Every single day, the Kohen Gadol would be like everybody else. And he would sanctify his hands and his feet before he's doing the Avoida from the Kir. V'hayoyim Menakitin Shalzav. However, today, he would take it from a golden flask. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, lo'olam Kohen Gadol Mekadosh Yod V'Ragla Menakitin Shalzav. Every single day of the year, the Kohen Gadol would be different than everyone else, and he would always sanctify his hands and feet with the golden flask. Now, final difference is, B'chol Yoyim Hoyusham Arba Marachas. Every single day, there were four different pyres of firewood that would be on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara will explain what they are and why they are. V'hayim Chamish. And today there were five. That's Divrei Meir. B'yisem, he says, no less. He says, B'chol Yom Mishalish V'yom Arba. Every day there was three, and today there was four. And Rebuda says, he says, even less. He says, B'chol Yom Shtayim V'yom Shalish. Every single day there was two, and today there was three.